This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Andrew, can't believe you spent that much time on Bucks-Ravens and didn't mention the Chargers getting robbed last night at Arizona. And then he writes, by the way, totally agree with you on the final few minutes of the game. We didn't talk about the Chargers-Cardinals game. I did watch it. Denton, I had no idea that it was an ESPN Plus game. Why didn't we talk about this?
I have ESPN Plus.
I'm a subscriber. But man, the fact that you, if you had Sunday ticket and that game wasn't available to you and that you didn't have ESPN Plus, you had to pay for that game. Man, that's a step too far. That's gouging at this point.
How dumb do you have to be to put a second Monday Night Football game, which is by far the lesser of the two matchups, on ESPN Plus? I already think two Monday Night Football games is dumb.
Is there another ESPN Plus game this year? I think there is.
I think there might be one other one.
Yeah. They're trying to get their broadcast partner more subscribers. I've been an ESPN Plus subscriber for a long time now because you get that, you know, other content that they have behind the paywall. So I don't even know what I pay for it. It's another one of those things that shows up on my American Express monthly, and I'm like, I'm paying what for what? I mean, there are like six or seven of those. And by the way, not all of them are mine, which really frustrates me. Even with grown ass kids, sometimes whatever they are subscribers to ends up on my credit card. I think I know what he's talking about. There was a they picked up a pass interference call at the end of the game when the Chargers were driving down 14-12, and it would have allowed them to potentially run the clock down and kick a walk-off field goal. And he was complaining. They said they waved it off because they said the ball was uncatchable. But he got interfered with on what Harbaugh claimed was a double move. And so how do you know that he wouldn't have gotten there? He stopped because he gave the stop because he got held up, but because it was also part of, you know, a stop and go or a double move. And Harbaugh was incensed at the end of that game. And they had to kick a field goal. There was still a lot of time left, and the Cardinals went down, and they ended up kicking the walk-off field goal to win the game last night, 17-15. Big loss for the Chargers, who now fall to 3-3. Although that AFC, Denton, I'm telling you right now, somebody at the end of the year through 15 games is going to be 7-8 or even 6-9 and have a chance. 7-8 and have a chance to be in it. All right, back to the phone lines. How would you handle Jaden Daniels this week? What would you need to see or get reported by a doctor to play him against Chicago? Let's go to Aaron, who's been on hold for a while. Aaron, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Great show, as always.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, I just get my doctors to just watch him like a hawk during practice. If there's any sign of wincing or pain while he's throwing or running, you know, I would not clear him to play. He's got to be 100% for the week for practice. And that's pretty much it. But, like, my focus is the division, and I don't think this is a must-win, you know? I think Philly, I don't know if that's a guaranteed win against Cincinnati, so I think they could lose this game and still be in the, you know, first in the division after this. Right. So, yeah. Also, Mariota is serviceable. He can run that offense. He can run the offense, and I feel all right with him, you know? So, Right. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's not a must-win situation. It is a game that is important. It's an NFC team. It's an NFC playoff contender. It's a team that at the end of the year you could be vying for a wild card spot with, and this game will actually be a significant result. You know, if you're not winning the division, and we have to certainly consider that the division is far from wrapped up. They still play Philadelphia twice. The Eagles have played better here recently. They certainly did on Sunday against the Giants. Yeah, I am kind of excluding the Cowboys from this conversation, but maybe they'll get their act together. Who knows? It's the NFL, so hard to predict. But no, I am not viewing this game as must win. So therefore, my guy's got to be not only healthy, he's got to practice without any sort of discomfort. There's got to be an assurance to me, if I'm the head coach, that he can't seriously re-injure the injury, that it could be something further, or that, you know, protecting that injury could make him susceptible to injuring something else. I'm going to be on the side of caution because it's week eight. And yeah, and I don't feel like I am without a chance if I've got to play Mariota Sunday against the Bears. Let's go to Tom in Columbia. Tom, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
I said, listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity to explain what's really going on.
Was Tom talking to us, or was he having another conversation?
Tom was talking to another person. That was not
Tom's
us.
Working. I understand that. People, you know, not going to sit on hold for a while and not, you know, take other calls or conduct business. We're not the priority for you. We understand that. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, brother, you are my priority right now. That's why I'm calling you. first of all, Kevin, do we know anything other than Sunday the x-rays were negative? So all this speculation that everybody's doing, then nothing's been said. It could be a bone bruise, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like he wanted to try to play, but it was also pretty clear when he was taking those warm-up passes before that second drive that he was not well in that moment.
He was wincing. We all saw it when he tried to warm up, but, you know, that's when they took him back. But as far as we all know, x-rays were negative. He could have had a bone bruise because I think he was being very cool.
You're breaking up, Bobby.
You're right. We're going to know tomorrow. We're going to know tomorrow, Kevin. You're right. Okay. I think they're just being coy about this. But if it's just a bone bruise, you play him. Okay? If he can tolerate the pain, we've all had bone bruises before. If he's not going to cause any further damage to his ribs or anything, he's going to play. And, Kevin, this is a big game. I'm looking down in January for seeding in the playoffs, brother, and we're only one game away right now from being the number one seed overall. I'm looking big picture on this thing. It's not a must game, but it's a big game. Let's freaking go hit them in the mouth and win another game and stay right there relevant as long as we can, and who knows what's going to happen because the North has got to play each other a bunch of times here going right down the stretch. So they're going to beat up on each other. So, you know, we need to win the game Sunday, brother. I'm looking at January seeded right now, the way this season's playing out for us. And you know, the more home games you get in the playoffs.
The North remembers. I'm with you. This is an important game in the NFC. It is. It's not a must-win game in the moment. So I would view it differently than it's December. We have to win this game to clinch a playoff berth or to stay alive for a playoff berth. Yes, bruises, everybody plays with some level of discomfort. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, can he be Jaden Daniels on Sunday if he goes out there without any sort of significant risk to the injury that he just had? There's always significant risk playing football in general. And if he can't be exactly what he is because there is an inability to be able to rotate completely, or they're going to probably cut back on his, you know, runs or open or designed runs, you know, maybe we won't see the quarterback counter stuff or the quarterback power stuff. Yeah, I just want to make sure that if he's out there, he can be himself and he feels comfortable and 100%. Billy in Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. The problem is Quinn and Kingsbury do not understand what they have in Jaden. There is zero reason to have any running plays in this playbook with this guy. This guy, in six games, he throws it like Marino or Brady or Rodgers, and he runs it like Lamar. There is no reason for him to be in a position where he gets hurt on the first play of a game because they call a running play. He is the best rookie pocket passer I've ever seen. So the fact that he can run is absolutely irrelevant. The guy is a unicorn.
It's not,
and somehow, miraculously, Kevin,
you're a serial exaggerator.
The one
you know
in
that?
A million.
You're a serial what? Exaggerator. You know, the truth will do most of the time. The greatest pocket passer you've ever seen is a rookie? Really?
Yes.
He's good.
Yes.
You know how much
in
I love him.
Games.
He doesn't
in
have to
games,
run
he's the best pocket
to be
I've
great.
Ever seen.
Every quarterback in 2024, for the most part, has to be able to extend and play off schedule, off platform. That's moving. That's potentially running. Not to mention that the entire offense is elevated by his ability to be a runner as a designed or option runner. My preference is the option runs are fine. The designed runs, I don't mind quarterback draws. I don't mind naked bootlegs. I have a big issue and have since the opener with quarterback counters and quarterback sweeps and quarterback powers. I don't like them running into traffic, into potential piles. But the idea that, you know,
first play of the
that
game,
he's still Jaden Daniels by just being
play.
Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in the pocket is
okay,
a
Kevin.
Massive stretch.
Okay. He's the best rookie pocket quarterback I've ever seen. That throw against the Cincinnati
Dan
game,
Marino's the greatest pocket passing rookie I have ever seen. It's not even close. Not even close.
It is close. And I saw Dan Marino too. This guy puts the ball in places that nobody else can put it.
He's very
and
good.
So Quinn,
the greatest
and,
ever
and
as a rookie,
is that good throwing the football.
I mean, we can have that conversation and prepare for that conversation. But right off the top of my head, the first time you saw Dan Marino as a rookie, when he took over and he nearly won the MVP by playing in only 9 games as a rookie, you knew you were watching one of the greatest throwers of the football that we had ever seen. No one has said that about Jaden Daniels except for you.
Well,
do I think he's excellent
then I'm
as a
the
thrower?
Guy.
Yeah. Advanced? Yes. Definitely. He's missed a couple of deep shots. He hasn't hit on every ball, Billy, so far. You know, there have been a couple of deep shots he'd love to have back, which, by the way, you can say that about every quarterback.
You want to put him at risk with running plays, the guy that throws the ball this well? You take a look at all the quarterbacks that have ever won the Super Bowl, and you give me the list of the running quarterbacks or the double threat quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl.
We're not.
I'll
we're
take
not
Jaden in the pocket and scramble when you can scramble.
So I think this is a conversation that just we got to be on the same page here. Of course, quarterbacks that have played off schedule, extended plays, had some designed runs, you know, have won Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers would be an example of a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl that has been phenomenal sort of off schedule. Matt Stafford has been incredible off schedule.
Jaden
you know,
throws as good as both of them.
Russell Wilson was a dual-threat quarterback and played
Jaden
off
throws
schedule.
Better than Russell.
Yeah, you asked me if there's any quarterback that was anything other than a drop back, stand in the pocket, and throw it. I'm not talking about the dual threat nature, even though Russell Wilson is an example of that. I'm talking about the fact that he is really at his best, and he's great at everything he's done. I'm not going to debate that, but he's really at his best, as Dan Quinn would say, his superpower is when he creates that second play off the first play. And then you see some magic. like that throw to Terry, the 66-yarder in the Cleveland game, right? The Cleveland game.
Those three players that you just listed.
Let me get some other calls. Let's go to Lou. Lou, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Appreciate you, Kevin. If I'm the owner, if I would just tell him, look, man, take a week off. It's okay. You know, I throw in, you know, Mariota in there for this Sunday. I don't care about this, you know, the matchup with Caleb. I want this guy to be healthy. I want him to be, you know, a franchise quarterback. So why isn't it, like, there's no need. If I'm the, like, I don't need, you know, the next 2-3 days to confirmation. If I'm Josh, I would tell him, look, dude, just take a week off, man. Because
if Josh tells them what to do, I'd be very disappointed. My owner's not going to tell his football people that he's hired and he's empowered and he trusts how to handle this situation.
He made that call when he hired
Adam Peters and then hired Dan Quinn.
No, but they could have this conversation. They could sit down and say, "Look, as you seen the other guy, the defense, like the defensive end, he got hurt. He had a rib injury. So, I mean, let's take it serious as a fan, whatever. If I own this team, I would tell him, look, dude, I don't need you this Sunday. I don't care about the matchup.
What if they said he's perfectly fine?
If they say that, and then, you know, I'll go with it. But at the same time, Kevin, we're looking at longevity. I mean, we're talking about, you know, we got
to
think.
Longevity has nothing to do with it, Lou, if he's cleared and he's 100% healthy. If he's not 100% healthy and he can't play like Jaden Daniels, then I'm totally with you. But if he is 100% healthy, and this was just a bruise, and he was uncomfortable Sunday, and by tomorrow he doesn't even feel it anymore, well, let's go beat the Bears with number 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
I'm not sitting him just because I'm worried because I saw him get hurt on Sunday. I need a lot more information than that. I need to know that I can have my quarterback. If I got my quarterback and there's nothing wrong with him, well, then he's playing. That's why Dan Quinn said, we hope that there's a chance he'll play against the Bears on Sunday. And I think we're going to know a lot more. I think they're kind of waiting to see how he feels tomorrow and Thursday. And then you get into that situation, well, what if he feels great on Friday or Saturday but didn't practice? Then, you know, that's really a coach's call on whether or not, you know, they'd want him stepping in there without the prep heading into it. Thanks for the call. Sabah is on hold. Go ahead, Sabah.
Hey there, Kevin. Just as a quick aside, the only quarterbacks in the league to ever, as a rookie in their first two starts, to throw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns are Dan Marino and one Drake May. Just want to put that out there for you. So as far as Jaden Daniels is concerned, if he has any kind of musculoskeletal strain, so if any quick sudden movements, he feels a pull, he has torn part of that muscle, that cartilage, he then loses his superpower, which is his escapability and his ability to move quickly so he doesn't take that big hit or he escapes right when someone, you think you got him, but you don't. If he doesn't have that, I think that's going to affect the way he plays because he needs that. He needs to know in his mind, if I'm in trouble, I know I can get out. If he doesn't have that in his mind that he can do that, he may then run earlier than he should. And when he does run, he will not have that escapability and will then take a harder hit, which will hurt him more long term. So to me, it matters on pain. What exactly is the injury? If it's just a bone bruise, then him moving here and there won't bother him. But if it's some kind of musculoskeletal cartilage tear or something like that, anytime he moves, it winces, he should not play because, again, he lost his superpower. If you notice on that Netflix thing when Kirk Cousins hurt his ribs, he was fine because he's a pocket guy. He doesn't rely on a superpower to get things done. You notice Justin Herbert had the same thing. He was okay. He could tolerate the pain because they don't rely on that one super move, that escapability, that quick first step to get out of trouble like Jaden does. So that's my thought on that.
Sabah, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told you before. Yes. That's the best call you've ever made into my show. But I want people to know why. Hold on. I want people to know why I feel that way. And the reason I feel that way is your credentials for giving us the information you just gave us. So tell everybody what your credentials for what you just said are.
Oh, you mean I'm in the medical profession? That credential?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I went to medical school and everything, and I am a surgeon. So, I mean, if you have a muscle strain or tear, you are going to re-aggravate that when you do your little quick movements. If you're a pocket guy, Kevin, you don't do those movements.
Yeah.
You literally, you go back, you throw. You go back, you throw. That's not the issue with Jaden. It's that quick first step, that escapability, that movement. And, you know, honestly, Kevin, I thought on that run, did it seem weird to you that he got caught from behind by two guys? Do you think he pulled something as he was running, or is he just not that fast? I thought he would be gone. Because if that was RG3 or Lamar, I don't think they catch him.
I've watched that play so many times.
You're wrong there, though.
There was an angle that the number 20, the first safety
somebody
that
on the right
reached
came
down
from
behind. And once he got a shoelace or a little bit of the shoe, it slowed Jaden down. He started to stumble a little bit, and that's why everybody caught up with him. If he doesn't get that I think he is gone. Yeah. I think there's also, in watching the All-22, an argument you could make where if he stays outside, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he felt like the cutback was a chance for him to really, you know, score, whereas the sideline may have been more of a temptation to get out of bounds. I don't know. But, no, I think it's that shoestring reach out by number 21, was it? I think it was number 21.
Mm-hmm. But he shouldn't have caught him, in my mind.
Just got him a little bit off stride.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But one last thing, Kevin. I think you're not going to like this one. I think this offense is more dependent on the offensive coordinator, offensive line, and our play calling and design more than quarterback, because I did not like Mariota, and he looked wonderful. He didn't look much different, and I was not a Mariota fan. So I know that might burst your bubble a little bit. I don't want to ruin my goodwill with you, but Jaden may not be all we
think.
He may not be, but he's pretty good. I have said that
Kingsbury is doing a phenomenal job, but he also has a quarterback, which you've already referenced, has a massive game-changing superpower, if not more than one. So it's a lot to do with the quarter. I'd still go 75% QB, kind of 15-20% coordinator, and then however you want to mix up skill positions, O-line, etc. But you are right. Kingsbury's done a perfect job with him. And maybe
75-25 the other way. Because if Greg May was in the system or Caleb was in the system, I think they'd be doing the same.
Well,
or
you know what? You may get a chance to
really
see
like
it. Mariota is perfect for this kind of system, but there's a much better opponent Sunday. And so you may get a chance to see, can Mariota do what Jaden would do against the Bears? Although that's even a hard comparison. But thanks for the call, and it's a really good sort of description of what they need to see. And why he would be at risk playing with more of a cartilage versus a bruise. Merrill Hodge will be our guest next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Here's what Merrill Hodge said to me when I had him on the show prior to the draft in April. He said, if it's between May, as in Drake May, and Jaden Daniels at number two, Merrill said, quote, it's simple. I would rush up with the Daniels card. Not even a question. Not even a question. I would not blink at doing that. I would get him up there ASAP over May, closed quote. He also said, drafting Drake May at number two is how you get fired. He had first round grades on Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but Daniels was the quarterback he liked. And this was, as we told you before the draft, Merrill's gotten it right. CJ Stroud, Joe Burrow among the quarterbacks that he has gotten right in his evaluation prior to drafts over the years. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. BetQL allows you to bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Merrill can be followed on X, on Twitter, at Merrill Hodge, MerrillHodge. Longtime NFL player, longtime NFL analyst. So, before we get to how you would handle this week with the rib injury to Jaden Daniels, what have you thought about his first, you know, six games plus in his NFL career?
Extraordinary. I think that, you know, like, coaching is such a critical component of transitioning to the NFL. You know, you got to have a good skill set. We could talk about, you know, what he had at LSU, what he developed from Arizona State, from when he started, to what he truly had that helped him transition. But then, you know, what I've been most impressed with, and usually gets ignored, is just the value of coaching. You know, the running game that they have designed, it is the equivalent of a Baltimore and a Detroit. Okay, and that's elite. And they're raw. They're still young at it and learning. They have been able to do things in the passing game and running game because of his overall skill set. You know, where he's better than C.J. Stroud is his ability to run, you know, and they take advantage of that. Now that sometimes, I don't know how he hurt his rib, but, you know, when you run a guy, you do run the risk of injury, and that's the only dangerous thing with it. But what they have done from a running game perspective and a passing game perspective, they are fun to watch, and they are one of the best offenses in football, you know, and they're one of they're a dangerous team. You know, that Baltimore game I thought was a great example of growth for them. I've been in games where you're like, okay, there's the bully on the block, or there's the standard, and how will we measure up to them? And they didn't go away. Yeah, I know they didn't win, but that's how you can just grow within the season. Not we will benefit next year. I mean, you'll benefit throughout the year just playing teams like that and getting better and understanding how much better you have to get in order to compete for a championship. But it's a fun team to watch. There's a lot of good things, and they're on the upswing, not the downswing.
You know, I want to come back to what you said about how, you know, they're running the football, the Kingsbury influence, how he kind of elevates the run game because he, too, is a run threat. But what I loved about the Baltimore game, and I'm curious as to your thoughts, is that they basically decided we can't run the football against their front. We're going to be a one-dimensional football team, but we believe in this guy, even against contain rush, to deliver from the pocket over and over again. And he did that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't necessarily surrender. Well, they just weren't really successful at it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, some of your growing things, like, where are you in your running game versus where Baltimore is? Right. I mean, there's a great example. You know, you're not like light years behind them. You're just a little bit behind them. And you can grow through the season with that. But to your point, Jaden Daniels had a skill set. First of all, when I say skill set, so let me emphasize what the priorities are to help you transition how I look at it from college environment to an NFL environment. You're going to have to play in a dirty pocket in the National Football League. So your ability to process things quickly and decisively and be accurate with that, and then you sprinkle in anticipation with that, like, you better have that. If you have, the more that is established, the better you are at that, the better chance you have. Now, Jane Daniels was up in that category with the C.J. Stroud, the Joe Burrow, okay, where he does have the advantages, his ability to run, his speed, that dangerous element above those guys. But that's what has helped him. And, you know, you go to Kingsbury, and the name has escaped me, but you have a run coordinator.
Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn. Sorry. Okay, yeah, I don't want to get his name out there just because Kingsbury. I'm going to tell you this one. Kingsbury came in this league. The Steelers were going to play there. I remember getting ready. I was looking at our study in the Cardinals, and they were like typical college. Like, college is all played on the perimeter. Like, yeah, the passing game, it's like bubble screen, smoke screen. I mean, lateral, lateral, lateral. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he hasn't learned. Like, you can't play like that in this league. You just get destroyed. You can't play on the perimeter. Our hash marks are different.
Right.
You play in the middle. Anyway, it just like – so he deserves a lot of credit. How he's evolved and the things that he has learned and transitioned in the passing game and to take advantage of Daniel's skill set, you know, I don't want to minimize that. How they've designed the run as a staff and the passing is and fit it around a kid that has a great skill set. You know, they're not sitting there trying to develop all these things that I just mentioned from pocket awareness, processing, and accuracy like they are in Chicago. Like in Chicago, I mean, Caleb Williams struggles in the pocket. To their credit, though, he is getting better, and he's trying. Like, you could tell he's trying. There's some guys who just won't even try. He's at least trying, but he's not the processor. Because think about this. You can tell when you watch him in the pocket, he's thinking. He's trying to stay in the pocket. He's thinking through what he's doing. And when you occupy that part of your processing, which Jaden doesn't have to, it's a natural reaction for him. So as he's dropping back, he's like one, two, three. He knows where the ball's coming at the top of the drop. Caleb Williams gets to the top of the drop and goes, okay, now where do I throw it? Okay, so that difference right there, you can see it. That is a big difference in growth. Doesn't mean he won't eventually get there, but that's a process that takes a while where you guys don't have to deal with that in Washington, you know. And then you just start growing faster. Now you learn how to play against defenses and how to execute against those guys and get better in your own craft. And that's a big advantage for where you guys stand right now and to where you can be at the end of the year.
Love that stuff. I went back and listened to when you were on with me before the draft, and you talked about, you know, accuracy, processing, throwing with anticipation, functioning within the pocket, pocket awareness. Like, if you don't have, you made the comment, if you don't have a sampling of that or you're struggling in that area, it's only going to get magnified in the NFL. And Mike Shanahan, who, when he was here, became friendly with a lot of us in the media, and he always said, and I'm curious as to whether or not you agree with this, he always said, if you don't have those things that you discussed, the accuracy, the processing, the anticipation, it can be coached up, but never to an elite level. To a functional level, yes, but when you're looking for those quarterbacks, you've got to have that naturally and have already shown the ability to do that, or there's only so much of a level you can get to.
And he's dead on. He is dead on. I've argued with people all the time. When you get into quarterback gurus, you know, they're like, oh, you can fix accuracy. I said, okay, well, now let's define that for people. Because if you're really erratic, okay, can you bring it in a little bit? Yes. I don't think there's any question. But you're never going to be – okay, like Jaden's very accurate. What's interesting is Caleb is less accurate because he's so erratic in the pocket. You know, he's working so hard at getting better. You know, that he's – so yeah. I think that will work us out because he's accurate already, but he's been very inaccurate. So I was like, whoa. But because he's not very good in the pocket is why. Once he gets better in the pocket, his accuracy will be better. Drake May is erratic. He will make throws that you'll be like, oh, my gosh. And then he's going to make some throws you're like, oh, my gosh. What, though, is that? Okay. That is the way he is. That is the way he has been. That's his entire college career. It's how he's been thus far in the NFL. And most of the time that shows up when it matters. you know, critical moments, that's when you got to trust things that you're so good at. To your point with Kyle, that is the exact truth to all of those. You can help them in certain degrees, but if they're so far off the charts, why even waste your time in trying to do that? Because they will always disappoint when it matters. You know, that's why between Drake and him, I was like, oh, that's not even a question. But there's not even a question. This isn't even a thought process. Based on the evidence that we have going into it, you don't even consider the other kid, because there's too much work there to be done. And there's too many, you know, things that you only can get so far, and they will always come back to haunt you. And it's going to haunt you when it matters, because he's going to give you all this hope, because he does make some throws. Like, I don't know if I told you, but I could put a highlight reel together of all three guys we just mentioned, and Drake May would blow them all away. Throws he made. But if you look at the body of work, you're like, oh, God. All these things start to show up. You're like, wow, that's 60 minutes of ball. This is like a highlight reel. So I trust the 60 minutes of ball over the highlight reel.
By the way, Jaden's highlight reel was pretty impressive, especially some of the runs. But I know what you're saying. So we're talking to Merrill Hodge. Merrill is really, really super sharp at analyzing football in this position in particular. So I've talked a little bit about the following, and that is the utilization of Jaden as a dual threat quarterback. You've already talked about, and we've seen it, the processing, the accuracy from the pocket, the quick release, by the way, which you haven't even mentioned. You know, the mechanics are solid. But, you know, there are the extension off-platform scrambling, you know, scrambling to throw. Everybody understands that if you end up scrambling, that's a part of a game that the quarterbacks really almost have to have this in this day and age. But then there are the designed runs versus the option runs. Designed runs, you know, old school would be naked boot, quarterback draw. But now we see, you know, going back to Cam Newton and Josh Allen now and Jalen Hurts and Lamar, we see quarterback counter, we see quarterback power, we see quarterback sweep versus the read option, you know, where the quarterback's optioning off the defensive end or the outside linebacker. The designed runs, especially quarterback counter, where you're running into traffic and you're running into sometimes a pile, do you think that should be a part of the game for Jaden Daniels or not? Because they've made it a part of it.
Yeah, you got to be careful, and you got to trust your quarterback. And actually, you know, he's done a good job of really getting down. Now, the play you're describing, really, by design, they're trying to get more of like a sweep approach, so they're on the edge versus, you know, like a power type run. They're trying to avoid those things. You know, they're making it look counter one way with your back and a sweep the other way with your quarterback. You know, people indicate it as the counter, and it's really not, because they are trying to get to the perimeter and keep him out there for a couple reasons. One, you know, there's less abuse out there, and there's more options to get down. You know, and actually the way the Ravens do this and Washington, and I know of nobody else that I can think of.
And the B gap sometimes.
Yeah. He's like, they use him as a horse. I mean, he's like a power back. That's what you want to do. You don't want to do that with Jaden, because the way he's built. He's not built like that. Now, both of them are dangerous. Even a guy like Josh Allen. I mean, listen, Cam Newton, really, beginning and end of his career, was getting hit too much, you know, running too much. That's their whole problem in Indianapolis. That is his total strength. And you just can't win like that consistently. You know, it's a great element to have. It's a great phase. But, man, I mean, what is everybody raving about Lamar Jackson right now? His overall ability of playing better throughout the pocket and the design, how he's throwing the football, and which is he's even increased that a little bit. That's going to be your deciding factor with him. That phase and that wild card that you get with the running game, yes, it's enormous stress on a defense. It's something you have to constantly be thinking about and prepare for. So that's a heavy load. Going back to Jaden, I really think they do a good job of trying to keep him on the perimeter. And the inside stuff, even that, you know, he's been very judicious in when he gets down. Now, I don't know how he got hurt. I was watching.
It was a zone read. It was a read option. Defensive end crashed on the back. He kept it, and there was a lot of room, and he was trying to cut back to score from 89 yards out. He got kind of got tripped up a little bit and then literally went head over feet in sort of an awkward tackle with two defenders.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, you know, he didn't leave right after that, but I could tell he was hurt.
He kept
– because it's his left side, right?
His left side.
I remember just watching him on tape. I was like, God, when did he go? And I was trying to figure out areas that he got hurt because I noticed then another time he just went down right away. And I was like, well, he must already be hurt.
That was a couple of plays later. He was hurt.
Yeah.
He didn't want to take another shot.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a pro. The only reason I'm asking because I know I could tell you how – You know, if you play, it depends on how bad it was. You know, is it a break? Is it actually ribbed cartilage bruise or tear is worse than a break.
Right.
That takes longer to heal, and that's far more painful. I've played with broken ribs and torn rib cartilage, and it was, I did it in college. I did it in the NFL. My college game, I lasted about two plays, and I just was done. So, you know, I mean, it's usually a 2-week process before you can really feel like you're able. And see, with him throwing, I mean, you just don't realize how much core work is involved in throwing until you start throwing with the bad ribs. So I don't know when he'll, I don't know if he'll be able to play this week. It'd be too bad if he doesn't or if he can't. But at the end of the day, it's probably a 2-week injury, you know, depending on how bad it is, but not knowing how bad it is matters. I go this. It's probably not really severe. Cause severe, man, he wouldn't have stayed on the field. But ribs are nothing. No, they're not fun. They're not fun at all. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can get comfortable with.
There's nothing you can do with that. You just have to let it heal.
Yeah, and that's hard. You know, to sit there and wait around all week. You know, and this would be one he'd want to play because you got Chicago coming into town. And but you guys got, I mean, you got bigger fish to fry than just one game, you know, and you did well without him, you know, and that's what the
backup would your, if this were your decision as, say, the head coach in the organization, what would you need from him starting tomorrow when they begin to practice for Chicago to clear him and to say, we're good, we can go? Would you need him completely 100% healthy or, like, how would that be approached by you?
Well, I just want to see what he could do, how well he could function. Because having experienced that, I know that like from tomorrow to Saturday, there could be a lot of improvement, you know. So I'd want him to walk through things that he could walk through, you know, do as much as possible. But clearly know that this might not be a scenario where he's going to be able to play, you know. This one would really be almost a day-to-day because – having experience, you can, you know, now the first week is so miserable, but listen, I couldn't play another down after it happened. I mean, I broke him and then separated my rib cartilage. So that was like, I don't know exactly what he did. You know, I don't know if details
they
are.
They haven't been specific. The X-rayed not broken. That's
good they're not broken, but that doesn't mean, that's even worse, you know. And so if they're just maybe bruised, you know, and there's no real significant cartilage damage, I mean, he might have a chance to play this week. What I'd like to see is him just get better. I'd walk him through, you know, he's a smart kid. He's played smart. You've seen him play smart. You're listening to the point of the season where you're not going to be he's going to be able to get through the mental aspect of stuff to be prepared. And then if he feels like he can really throw it and really play in a way that – you're capable of playing and you're not out there hurting the team because you can't play, which I got to make that decision too. If you're a coach, you're just like, well, I know he wants to play. That's a given, but can you really function in the way we need you to function in order for us to win this game? Well, that's what I need. And if you can't, then we'll get you next week.
Yeah. We are talking to Merrill Hodge. I'm curious as to what your opinion over the years has been of Marcus Mariota if he has to start the game Sunday against Chicago. And I don't know if you had a chance to see him play against the Panthers. He essentially played the whole game and played well.
Here's what Marcus allows you to do, which I've always thought is value to your backup. is that you can execute the offense that you already have in place.
Right.
You know, from every aspect, from mobility aspect and a throwing aspect. You know, Marcus's struggles have been his consistency. You know, and that's, you know, now listen, the defense you guys faced last week is going to be different than this one.
Sure.
You know, and so that you have to take that into consideration. But he allows you to do the same things that you did. So that means everybody's still a player in the offense. Versus a guy who's like, okay, we can't do half of the run things we did because our quarterback can't move. You don't have that problem. So you can really call. And then listen, every guy's going to be a little different as far as what I like and what I feel confident in versus, you know, Jade may feel confident in five other things that Marcus does not. And that's not a hard thing, but they're within the offense and the structure of what we call. So it's just about getting plays that he really likes and feels comfortable running. But you look at your running game, because your running game is built on a mobile quarterback. It doesn't take that away, and that doesn't hurt.
Right.
You. That means, you know, your offense isn't hurt by that. And going back to the, you know, Jaden can't play. It's just one more week where he could. I was at 2 weeks. I could almost promise you that he, based on, you know, the information you've given that we had, he will be completely better in a couple of weeks versus this one.
You've said something a couple of times that I meant to follow up on earlier, because this has been a conversation here over the first six games. The dual threat nature, we understand he processes, he really throws the ball well, and he does all those things that allow him to throw the ball well from the pocket. But the dual threat nature, him being involved in the running game, just elevates the offense and the rest of the running game. You're a big believer in that, aren't you?
Well, I am. And here's what you have to have in that, which you guys had a guy there that had no clue about this. Like, RG3 had no idea how to run the football in the NFL. None. You know, I mean, he had no idea when to get down. He had no sense of that. He had now you can say that's bravery. You can call it whatever you want. It just it ended his career. You know, that's why you got to have a guy you can trust to get down or get out of bounds, surrender when he needs to surrender, and take less hits. And that's what I liked about Jaden, to be honest with you. Probably stood out the most. Forget about how dynamic he is and the speed he uses. He's like, I trust him as a coach. I can call plays and know that he's going to do the right thing for us. You know, it's first and 10, even if it's say second and 10, he can get 9 yards and get down. He'll get 9 yards and get down. He's not going to try to get that first down, you know, and take a hit. I don't need that. And he does a really smart job with that. And that's,
I mean, he did that at LSU in part because they couldn't afford to punt. Their defense was so bad. There was some context around that.
Yeah, you're correct. And then in the NFL, that's a different environment. You know, we got,
although the defense isn't very good here either, by the way, Merrill.
Well, they're better up front than, you know, than most. That is, you know, your front, you know, your box players, you know, and they're not, and that is bad as, like, say, ones you just played, you know. But listen, you got to be excited about the team, though, as a whole, with where you're going, you know, versus where you were, you know. Like,
let me ask you, because I've got like a minute and a half left with Merrill Hodge. Just real quickly, in the NFC, where do they fit in among the teams, not in the division, but just overall in the NFC?
Okay, this is what I was going to say. Okay, listen, before the season, everybody was looking at schedules. They rate schedules, you know, they're like strength of schedule. I'm like, okay, that's based on last year. I'll tell you this right now. If I got to pick this week who I played, Washington or San Francisco, you know who I'm picking? I'm picking San Francisco.
Of course, the schedule
right
game is total fool's gold. It's about when you play the team, not who you're playing,
and the development and all things. Because that schedule is based on how they played last year. You know, I go, well, wait, you know, that it always changes every year.
Course.
And I'm like, that tells you where they stand. I think they're the best in that as a team. I think they're the best in that in your division right now.
Right.
You know, Philadelphia with you guys, that'll be a heck of a matchup. You know, I think you're better than Dallas, both sides of the ball. I think you've already played the Giants, right? Did you guys play those?
Yeah,
weekends?
Beat the Giants.
We too. Yeah, you beat them in Washington, right? Or were you guys there?
Yep. I forget. In Washington.
Yeah. So you've already handled that, and you're the right now, based on how you're playing from a consistency aspect, you're better. You're the best team in that division. That's all you got to do.
NFC North loaded top to bottom? NFC South, Atlanta, Tampa. NFC West, the 49ers in trouble right now, obviously, with all the injuries. Where do they rank in the NFC?
I got them probably in the top four. Seattle is a team that's like that would make Seattle would make me nervous. You know, they're another team that like they're tough, they're good. You know, there's nothing that just like stands out about them. But they, man, you don't want to be up there. You'd rather have them come to you. One of those teams.
Detroit.
Detroit's the elite. Detroit is the elite team, and Green Bay. You know, I put them in a top five of teams in the NFC. I think they're the best in their division. That's good enough to get in the arena. And once you get in the arena to play for the Super Bowl, man, then you just got to win a few games to get it done.
Merrill Hodge, everybody, really appreciate it. Love your insight. Thanks. Hope you're well.
Anytime, Kevin. Take care, buddy.
Yep, Merrill Hodge at Merrill Hodge on Twitter. We'll talk to Mike Sando from The Athletic next hour, talk some NFL with him. I've got sort of an upon further review, which includes something I didn't do on yesterday's show, grade Marcus Mariota's performance. I'll get to that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.